Yesterday's mom used to sit with other women and do quilting and do canning, and I don't even know what those two things are, but they used to do that and find community and find commonality and find mentoring. We still have those opportunities today, and we need to take advantage of it.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries and our very special guest this week, Rosemary Barnes. I'm your host, Ruthie J. And yeah, we don't do the whole quilt. Well, I guess some people do quilting ministry still
today,
right?
Yes, some people.
I guess. I really didn't mean that we still can do quilting and canning. I have no clue what
needles
canning is.
Needles and thread and all that stuff.
This is hilarious. Well, I think that was a nice excuse. I think they came together and did projects together because many hands help. But I think at the same time, there was community mentoring going on. Mm-hmm. And there was also, you know, you've got three kids. I've got one as a woman. And all of a sudden, I'm talking to you about this and you're affirming me, it will all pass, or this is how you can deal with it, or he will sleep through the night, or whatever it is. And it was just like, wow, I can exhale now because I've been terrified. Is this going to be okay? We were with a mom today and she was talking about how her two-year-old isn't talking yet and very, very concerned about that. And just to hear from Rosemary that, you know, Roby didn't do that and then all of a sudden launched into sentences out of nowhere and it was shocking and this will pass. And you could watch her little face go, wow, I think I just needed to hear that. I think we need as moms, and I'm not a we, so I think you need as moms, the opportunity to know there are venues out there, and that's the responsibility of the church and the privilege of the church, the new extended family, the new community.
And I think that we don't want to forget the fact that it's a biblical concept. I mean, that is something that's been taught very practically in the New Testament, Titus, about the mentoring process, that we are to be helping one another with that. And I remember in my own life having an older woman that I would be very concerned, like you described, about certain things about a child, they say, oh, that's typical for a two-year-old, or like you said, he will talk, or this is how to help your husband to get involved more with the children and those kinds of things. And to have somebody to talk to about that kind of thing is biblical. Mm-hmm. It's something that God had in mind. And we have ways. We don't have the family community in most cases. Some cases have the joy of having that today. But in most cases, we don't have that farming community where maybe there were several generations living under the same roof or on the same property. And we don't have that. But we can certainly find it. We have other venues that we can pursue finding help with.
I think today's mom has a little bit more difficult time sharing parenting difficulties or concerns about their child or fears that there's something wrong with the child, that we've become so private that we don't even share there's any problem and we go through life smiling, do you think?
I know that when you admit the challenges that you're going through, there's sort of an embarrassment factor, sort of like, I don't know if I should really share that you know, that my kids don't take a bath every single night or, you know, things like that. Uh-huh. And so it does take a certain level of vulnerability. But then on the flip side, there's so much online blogs and stuff that it's almost sometimes you don't even have to leave your house to find answers for things. You can find them online. But then you miss just that hug that you need, that you're going to make it, you know, you'll see next year will be a little different. Your kids will grow out of this, and that's what you need too. And like
just
you said,
contact with somebody
else. It's hard to hug a blog.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what are you going to sidle up to the computer screen and give it a big hug?
Yeah. Right.
And especially women. And that's something we haven't talked about this week. Women are so relational, and all of a sudden their relations are gone if they're not careful, because maybe they can talk on the phone and certainly they can text, but they're used to just constantly communicating and being and having coffee and meeting at whatever to have drink their coffee together and do all these things. And all of a sudden, they're so isolated.
And I think it's important also for men and dads to understand that, too. You know what? My wife needs to go out and mingle with other women just to vent about, you know, bottles or diaper types, you know, and things like that. You know, just because it's little talk, but then somehow we walk out just feeling better about ourselves because someone understands.
Exactly.
And that's how women are built anyway.
Right. I agree 100%. I think that's so key. And there are many situations, hopefully in your church, that would offer that kind of venue. We have a Bible study here at Sheridan House, and it is a wonderful opportunity. We have a lot of young moms coming in, and this is their time. And they have a group that they share about the Bible, and they talk about personal things. They pray for each other, and they can't wait to get here because they can touch another woman. And I think that is so important. Many of them come and say, this is dad night, and you can take them for ice cream. You can let them stay up to however, but this is my night as a woman and as a time for me to connect and, you know, really encourage him him to do that. So find something within your community that you can be doing that is going to be communicating and touching another woman.
It's almost like it gives her a every Tuesday night, I'm so looking forward to Tuesday nights. We have some friends, Matt and Michelle, and I know that's who you're thinking of. Matt is the principal of a high school, and Michelle is a guidance counselor, and they're awesome. And Tuesday night, and they've got three little girls. And Tuesday night, Bible study has been everything. And Michelle gets here early. This is her night. And if Matt, as a principal, has to do something, they hire a babysitter. And I'm watching her. She is an awesome mom and an awesome woman. And watching her get here, and she comes alive when she's here and even stays late to help clean up. This is her night. This is her ministry. This is her time. And this is her refreshing. And she's made it a priority to, I will do this. I will get there. I think that's mandatory for women to find that community and find that moment and find that place and find that thing that fits her, even if it's mops, whatever it is.
And I think it's a thing of making that be a priority, because especially working moms, like Michelle, as we're using her as an example, is a working mom. Mm-hmm. And so it had to be almost a discipline to say, should I really be out one night a week?
Because you feel guilty.
Exactly.
Too.
Shouldn't I be just pouring into these children and this limited amount of time? But I think it is so important. It's so invigorating and refreshing for her and other moms like that, that it is worth those few hours of being out of the home, even though those hours are so limited in her scheduling.
Because she sees the rewards of it too.
Yes.
Well, so does her husband, and realizes and sees the need. You know, the most pressing schedule ever in the history of man was the schedule of Jesus Christ. Every time they saw him, boats would turn around and come towards him on the Sea of Galilee. People would come out. Gimme, 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 gimme. And he still refreshed himself. There were times when he sent him away, went off by himself, and had his Bible study with his father. I mean, he just spent that time and realized the incredible need of refresh and refresh. Today's mom overcommitted to her child's activities, overcommitted to soccer and all these other things. And so she's become a chauffeur, and she never gets refreshed. And all of a sudden she gets 10 years down the road and begins to wonder, what happened to me? I've lost me. I'm working. I'm racing home. I feel guilty that I'm working. So I'm racing home, throwing food in their mouths, getting them out the door to activities because I'm all about shuttling them around. And then some mom said, you made me feel so guilty when you read that Harvard study on the need for meals. 5 meals a week as a family sitting at a table affects their grades, affects whether they smoke cigarettes or not, smoke marijuana or not, premarital sex or not. It's unbelievable having that group therapy, 5 meals a week together as a family, that this Harvard study and the University of Miami study has shown. And so she said, I'm going to have to reschedule my whole, yes, you are. Those outside separation, separate the whole family, is not great for the family. But when is your time? And don't make it time. I've got time now. I'm going to the mall. Is that a refreshing thing? Find a time that's really, really refreshing when you're with like-minded other women. And in this case of Michelle at the Bible study, sitting there, she's now a group leader of all these women. She's now doing a weekly email out on the Bible study. I mean, she's found it. Now, this is a very, very, very busy guidance counselor whose husband is a principal. And she's got three adorable, absolutely awesome little girls. But that's her time. That's her refresh, because she refreshes as a person, as a woman, and refreshes her spirit. I think moms today miss this dramatically.
And Ruthie, you mentioned your mom having to choose and decide some things were going to just, because she was a working mom as well. And she was having to look at everything and say, what can I lose and what can I keep? And I think that is very pivotal in what we're talking about today, to look at all the things that we are doing as a family. Okay, I've got three children. Each one of them is in a sport, or two of them are in a sport and one is at dance or whatever. And then, you know, we have this and that and responsibilities at church or whatever it is. And to look over everything and say, okay, for me to have a little time, and this sounds selfish, but it's not, because in the long run, it's going to be a positive for the family. So what of all these things can we bump out of the schedule? What is not as important as mom getting to be refreshed with other women, or studying the Bible with a group of women, or praying at MOPS with a group of women? What are some of these things that really we can dispense with so that can happen? Or that husband and wife can have a night together by themselves?
Right. And work around with your schedule too, because some things are seasonal.
Yes.
And okay, if you can't have five dinners a week,
right,
just have one dinner and four breakfasts. You know,
right.
I mean,
work
with yourself too, and right. don't continually get disappointed with yourself,
right.
because you can just get overwhelmed with disappointment too, right. that you're not meeting the ideal.
Start with two.
You know, yeah.
Right. Get a goal. Start with two. We're going to have two dinners at home. And listening to you, Sarah Rosemary, it's really a stewardship issue. It's a stewardship right. of money and a stewardship of time. And the stewardship of money is, we don't need to have all these things. We've right. got to decide we don't need to have all these things. And once we decide we don't need to have all these things, we don't need to put in all these extra hours. And you were very good with that as a wife, because I've got a very strong provider bone in my body, and I wanted you to have this and wanted you to have that. And I remember when we were getting ready to buy a car, we had a car with 130,000 miles on it, and you said, if buying a new car will mean that you've got to spend another night out speaking, I don't want a new car. Mm-hmm. And that was such a relief to me mm-hmm. to hear that. Mm-hmm. And backing off and budgeting and saying, we don't need to go out to eat during this season.
Or we don't need to have a Disney World vacation.
Right.
We can choose to take our vacation at home and come up with really creative ideas. I remember a friend of ours was going to have a Little House on the Prairie
oh, that's right.
day or something, and they turned off all the electricity, and they had to function like a prairie family.
Oh,
well,
wow.
the children loved it,
yeah.
and they interacted together as a family, had fun, laughed. That was so much more healthy and rewarding than all trucking off to Disney World where you're being entertained all
where
the
someone
time.
Someone else does the work. You
exactly.
pay the money, you're subcontracting the excitement out. The children and John and Rona's Little House on the Prairie night is an interesting thing, because when they announced Friday night, we're turning the power off until Saturday night, the oldest daughter complained. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do this, hair blower, all these other things. She was a teenager. And when they got through it and they were sleeping on sleeping bags in the living room, and the kids couldn't wait for the next one.
Right.
But that means the parents jumped in and had a good time. You made it be a good time. You were helpful, because you would pack a picnic dinner and we would just go sit on the sand at the beach. Mm-hmm. And that was dinner out for us. You made our own McNugget things, whatever those things were we ate down there. And we didn't spend any money.
Right.
And it was great. So it helped us get a little bit ahead. It's an issue of budgeting money, but it's also an issue of budgeting time, where we played one sport a year. Mm-hmm. Each child played one sport a year, done, so that we could have that time. You could have that time. You could go do those things. And we figured out where we would work in our times. What would be my 4-hour block? What would be your 4-hour block? So we each got some time to ourselves to exhale.
Yeah, you really have to be proactive in the
yes.
process, because
yes.
you really are the traffic controller right. of the house. So you can't react to everything
right.
that's going to happen. You as
right.
a mom have to say, this is what needs to happen in my home. You have to take care of yourself too,
exactly.
and make yourself somewhat of a priority
right. Right.
so that at least you're taken care of. If I'm eating okay, then right. I'll be able to take care of these kids.
Right. Right.
We don't have to spend money to do it either.
Yeah.
We think in America today.
A lot of us have learned that, though. If you've gone through hard times, you come up with some real creative things.
And it's a blessing.
It is.
And you realize you've blessed yourself
right.
with that.
And I also think it's being disciplined not to get into bad habits. And I think coming in at the end of a busy day, if you're a working mom or a stay-home mom with little children and you're just exhausted, and what you want to do is turn on the television and just have the whole thing, you know, making
Medicate.
Noise, medicating you all the rest, you know, the rest of the evening with the children, whatever. But I think it's being disciplined to, when you're not exhausted, saying, okay, what can I do to redeem the time a little bit better here?
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't even turn the television on weeknights. It just did not come on
mm-hmm.
because we either were reading with the children or they were doing homework. And that was sort of a weekend treat that we would have movie night or something like that. We never even turned it on. We
right.
just didn't have time.
Right.
And to discipline not to get into bad habits just from overcommitment and exhaustion.
And it takes discipline to be disciplined.
That's right. That's right. I think there's one final statement here to the moms. Don't feel guilty about doing these things.
Yeah.
Don't feel guilty about taking care of yourself. Don't feel guilty about leaving the children on a Tuesday night to go to a Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
Don't feel guilty. And I think you had to help me not make you feel guilty.
Mm-hmm.
You had to help me. Bob, if you don't want me to go, just say it.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want me to go, just say it. But the look on your face saying to me, you should feel guilty leaving me here. You got to work these things out, and you got to talk these things out. And again, when you would come home from that and I had the kids on a whatever night, and you just let me know in multiple ways how meaningful it was. I just needed this time, and it was wonderful. Thank you, Bob. We've got to decide, and moms have to decide how to work this thing out. And if there's a man in the home, help him understand what he's communicating, whether he's intentionally or not communicating. Don't feel guilty doing these things. It's worth it. It makes you a better woman, a better wife, and a better mom.
You've been listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob and Rosemary Barnes this week, talking about mothering. If you want to hear all these programs again, you can find them online at parentingtoday.org. Share them with a friend, with a fellow mom, even with your Bible study group. You can link them all to the website, parentingtoday.org. And we hope you'll join us again next week for another topic on Parenting Today.